to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. It's kind of a busy time right now with a lot of things going on this week and a lot of preparations that have been leading up to this week. I want to remind you guys of some ways that you can be serving here with the Graham Street family. One, this coming Thursday is when the community food bank goes on, just a couple of blocks away over here in the parking lot at First Baptist. If you've never gotten to come and help out with that, one, I encourage you to, because we've been running really short on volunteers recently, but two, it's an incredible way we have to reach out to our community for those that are in need. If you have questions about that, feel free to come and see me or David, and we can get you plugged into what time you need to show up on this coming Thursday. Also, the following Thursday, August 27th, will be our next night of 100 casseroles. We would love for you guys to participate either by making food again or coming out to actually serve those and hand those out to members of the community. And then, as always, basic needs volunteers almost all week long, it seems like. So if that's something that you're willing to do, make sure you get in touch with Deborah Swanson. Another busy thing that we have going on is, I guess we're going back to school this week, something like that. I know it's this kind of chaotic moment that we're trying to still figure things out. I know our teachers and administrators still feel like new things are being thrown at them every single day. I know there's lots of anxiety with the kids and with parents and the things that are going to be coming this week. But please be remembering them in your prayers. We will actually here in just a moment have a special prayer just for that. One other thing we want to remind you guys, and a lot of this is kind of tentative at this point, but on August 30th, for sure, on that Sunday morning, we will have a blessing for all of our students, everybody all the way through our college age, our campus ministry, as well as praying for all of our teachers, administrators, parents as well. So if you can, make sure you're here that Sunday morning as we get a chance to recognize you and to pray a blessing over you for this coming school year. Also, the plan right now is on the evening of August 30th, they will have a back-to-school bash at the city park. Now, I say plan because we're still waiting to kind of hear what is going on in the community and if we're going to get that permission to do so. So we'll have more details coming out, but in just 2 weeks, we'll be having that as a great way to celebrate us getting back into school. The last thing we want to do before we get to pray this morning, if you are a student, and that can be our tiniest students, maybe you're even going to be at kinder care, all the way through college students, if you could stand up this morning, as well as our parents of those, and this is going to be where we start getting more and more, and then anybody who is involved with any type of school district, university, teaching, anything like that, stand up. We're going to pray for you guys this morning as we get started today. All right, let's pray together, and let's also pray for those that are going to be taking this adventure back to school this week. Father, what a blessing it is to be here today. Father, we're grateful that you are here with us. And Father, that's why we are joined together as one. Father, we thank you for your Spirit and the way your Spirit works in our lives. And Father, we ask that right now, in the lives of those that may be anxious about this week, those that are excited, maybe those that are even fearful of the events to come as we start back to school. Father, we ask for blessings on our students, on our parents, on our teachers, on all the staff and the administrators of our schools and of our universities. Father, we thank you for their willingness to trust in you. Father, in the things that we do, we ask that we can please you, that we can trust you, we can glorify you. Father, today as we're joined together to worship, we ask that in our hearts and our minds that we can be reminded that you have commanded us to not be afraid, but to be courageous. And Father, we are courageous because you give us strength and we put our faith in you. Father, bless our families as they send their children back to school. Bless our parents to know that there is peace in you. Father, we thank you for who you are and that you are a God who is in control. Bless us this morning as we open up our hearts to you in worship. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you for being here this morning. Let's sing right out. Numbers are small, so sing right out to go along with the sermon topic of faith. Just remember one thing. Remember a lot of things, but remember one thing. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. It doesn't matter what the world's thrown at us. It doesn't matter what China's thrown at us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, and he has a home with us in heaven, okay? Let's stand as we sing.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my gifts away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee, pure, warm, and changeless be. Sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold solemn stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above all. Some soul, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm's end, in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Please be seated. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angel he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Song before David's lesson will be, "It is well with my soul." No matter what this world throws at us, he tells us to be peaceful. He tells us to have faith. Let's remember that as we sing this song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, my soul. It is well. Of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul, and Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Good morning, church. All right, good to see you this morning. Rusty, thank you for leading our singing. Thank you for being here this morning. If you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we'll start this morning. And then we'll be in Romans and we'll be in Genesis. But that's a good place to start, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to back up just a little bit and talk a little bit about what we started last week. This summer, in light of all the things that we've been going through, I thought it would be good for us to focus in on God's strength. And so the beginning of doing that is just looking at how the Bible addresses God's strength. And there's so many passages in dealing with how that we need to rely on God's strength, and we need to trust in God's strength, and we need to apply God's strength. But I thought as we close out the series, it would be good for us to talk about what we need to do to access, to activate God's strength in our life. And in order to do that, I talked about three things that we need to put into our life. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. We need to be growing in faith, hope, and love. Paul said to the Corinthians that this was the most important things that remain, because they were struggling with their spiritual maturity and basing it on miraculous gifts instead of the fruit of the Spirit that would cause them to become like Christ. And so Paul told them that these are the three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And if we grow in them, then we're going to access and activate God's strength in our life. And that's what this series of lessons is about. And we left the lesson last week talking about how this applies to the Lord's Supper. As we began to get ready to take the Lord's Supper last week, we said, see how the Lord's Supper applies faith, hope, and love. We're reminded of the faith that we have and what Jesus did at the cross and how it saves us of our sins. We have that hope that this is the eternal promise that we have with God, that we'll be with God and with Jesus forever. and that we have this love, this example of love that Jesus showed us at the cross, but also the love that we have for each other when we take the Lord's Supper. So as we go forward in this morning, I want us to look at how we can activate God's strength in our life by growing stronger in faith, hope, and love. And I want to use the example of Abraham this morning to help us. So let's read from Hebrews chapter 11 what it says about Abraham's faith, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were the heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country that is of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And he who received the promises was able to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I want to thank you again for the blessing of being able to be together. We pray for those who are not able yet to meet with us as they meet in their homes this morning, either with their family or with small groups. And I pray, Father, you'll give them a blessing that they may feel a part of being in the family, even though they're separated. And may we all together reach out to each other and keep each other encouraged and show our love to one another as we're in these strange times. I again repeat the prayer as Wes worded earlier this service, that we pray for our teachers and for administrators and people who are involved in keeping our schools going. I pray for those parents who are anxious about sending their children to school, are anxious about teaching them at home, and I pray for our students. I pray that you'll keep them safe and well. I pray that you'll make this a productive and beneficial year, even though it is different from what we've experienced before. I ask, Father, this morning, as we commit ourselves to growing in faith, that you'll give us the help that we need to bring your strength into our life, that we might grow together to be what you have called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're on the idea of teachers, I heard of a kindergarten teacher once that kind of came up with her own grading system. She didn't give A, B's, and C's to her kindergartners. And she just felt like that some of the standard things that we use to try to indicate to kids that they're doing well just didn't serve the purpose, and it didn't send a message to the parents. So she came up with some letters that she used that was her own standard. One was a G, and a G stood for this student is at grade level. This student is doing exactly what they need to be doing at the point that they are in the school year. She had another letter that she used, an M, And the M stood for this student has mastered the curriculum. Whatever we have thrown at this student has mastered it. And of course, parents love to see that. But then there was another letter that she used, and it was the letter N. The letter N, as in the word not. And that's what it stood for. It stood for not yet. Not yet. You're going to get there, but you're not quite there yet. And I think that's meant to be an encouragement. At least that's the way she used it, trying to help her students realize, keep trying, keep growing. You're not there yet, but you're moving in the right direction. And that's what I want you to think about this morning as we study the example of Abraham, that all of us in our faith, we're not yet where we need to be, but we need to keep growing in our faith. And I think as we grow in our faith, we're going to discover that as we grow in our faith, we grow in our hope and we grow in love. And I believe that's exactly what Paul was talking about when he said, when you're dealing with your spiritual maturity, it needs to be focused in on these three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. So let's study this. Romans chapter 4 has this wording, verses 18 through 21. And I want you to notice how hope and faith are connected together in this passage. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Isn't that interesting wording? Against all hope. From a human standpoint, there was no hope for Abraham to be a father. So that's against all hope. But Abraham, in hope, being able to believe in the promise of God and believing that the result would come about exactly as God promised it would come about, in hope, he believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah was also dead as far as her womb was concerned. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised that he would do. Now I want us to think about the story of Abraham. If you have your Bibles with you, you may want to go back to these stories in Genesis. I'm going to go through them really quickly. But I want you to remember when Abraham showed great faith. But the thing I want you to realize about Abraham's great faith is that even though he would demonstrate great faith, he would also demonstrate weakness. Sometimes great weakness. And Abraham, even the great Abraham, the father of faith, was a mixture of strength and weakness when it came to his faith. And yet he's given to us as the example for us to follow in being people who grow in our faith, people who have been strengthened in their faith. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham to go to a place, an unknown place, a place that he didn't know where he was going, and Abraham obeyed. Abraham went, showing great faith. But on the way, he had this encounter with Abimelech in which he was concerned about whether people would kill him to get his wife. So he had this lie that they constructed about Sarah actually being his sister. Now, if he had such great faith, why did he feel like he had to lie about his wife? Why didn't he trust that God would take care of him? So there's this mixture of strength of faith and yet a weakness of faith. In Genesis chapter 15, which has this great statement about Abraham's faith in verse 6, that Abraham heard what God had promised And Abraham believed the promise of God, and it says that Abraham's faith was reckoned unto him as righteousness. God considered him righteous because of his great faith, believing in the promise of God. And yet, right after it says that, Abraham says, "But God, can you give me a sign?" Now, this is probably a question that Abraham regretted asking, because God did come up with a sign. He came up with a symbol. Now, he went through this whole ceremony of Abraham offering a sacrifice and God showing him that he was with him. But he also said, "Let's have a little confirmation on your part of this sign." And in a few moments, we're going to see how God did that. God said, "I'm expecting from you that you keep your part of the covenant." Why did Abraham question God? If his faith was so strong that it was reckoned as righteousness, why did he say, "Well, I need a sign. I need a symbol"? In Genesis chapter 16, Abraham believes that God is going to bless him with a son. But in this particular situation, he has some questions about Sarah being the mother. And Sarah comes up with a plan to use his servant, her servant, as the one who will mother the child. And Abraham goes along with the plan. And that wasn't a plan that God had given them. This was a plan that Sarah came up with that Abraham went along with. Why did that happen if Abraham's faith was so strong? Genesis chapter 17. God restates the promise. God confirms the covenant that he has made with Abraham. They go through this process of explaining again, this covenant is a covenant that God has made. But Abraham laughs at the idea that he and Sarah can be the parents of a child. Why? He has great faith, but he laughs at the promise. Genesis 18, we find Sarah laughs. Even though Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Sarah had this great faith that was unwavering, yet she laughed. And then when she was confronted about laughing about it, she lied that she had laughed. Now, Sarah is complimented for her great faith, the strength of her faith, and yet she shows this weakness of faith. Genesis chapter 21, we have Abraham believes God's promise, but yet he's concerned again about a situation, same situation that he experienced before, same consequences were a part of it. He lies about Sarah being his wife. At this point, you would think, especially after having experienced this before, why would he lie about it? He's got great strength of faith, and yet he has weakness of faith. But then we get to Genesis 22. And God commands Abraham to take his son, the son that God has promised will be the one that will cause him to be the father of many nations, that his descendants will be like the stars of the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. He says, "Take your son and sacrifice him to me." So Abraham goes. He takes his son with him and has him on the altar ready to kill him and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And God stops him. And God substitutes a lamb in the place of Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, in this particular situation, Abraham seems to be all in. What I want to suggest to you is that Abraham lived, even though God recognized his great faith and even called his great faith righteousness, Abraham had his weaknesses. We'd have to give Abraham an in, I guess, for not yet. His faith was still growing. But even though his faith was still growing, it was strong enough that God considered it righteous. I want you to think about your faith. If there's anyone among us this morning that says, no, my faith is maxed out, I couldn't grow any more than what I have right now, we probably will question your humility. You might have great faith, but your humbleness is lacking, okay? I think every one of us will have to say our faith can grow more than what it is right now. We think about the passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It says, add to your faith. And then there's all these Christian virtues that we can add to our faith. And I think every one of us could say in one of those categories, at least if not all of them, we could do better than what we're doing. But here's the hope. Here's the exciting thing about the weaknesses of our faith. God can still consider us righteous because of His grace through Jesus, even though we have our weaknesses of faith. No one has such strong faith that you make yourself righteous, completely righteous, on your own strength. The only way you can be strong in your faith to be righteous before God is because God, in His strength, saves you through the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, we would all love to think that when we came to a faith commitment in Jesus Christ and we expressed that faith commitment in baptism and we went into that watery grave of baptism and we died to our old self and we were raised to walk in newness of life in our baptism, we would all like to think that that's the last time we ever struggled with our faith. But I would guess that probably every one of us at some point or another in our life have struggled since our baptism. Even though we made that commitment that we were going to live for Jesus for the rest of our life, all of us have probably struggled at some point or another with something. We've been tempted by something. We have found ourselves having questions for God about why we're experiencing what we're having. In some way or another, all of us have experienced something that says, I'm not there yet. But the wonderful thing about it is that God doesn't expect us to be there completely on our own. What He does expect, though, is for us, like Abraham, to grow in our faith to where we have this saving faith. That initial faith that comes to a point of commitment that says, I'm going to do what you've told me to do, God, whether it makes sense to me or not, whether I understand all the principles involved in it or not, whether I understand how it fits into the big picture or not, I'm going to do what you have called me to do, like Abraham did in setting out on that journey. On being able to say, God, I'm going to do what you've commanded me to do, regardless of whether I understand where I'm going or not. I'm going to believe in your promises, whether I see how in the world it can happen or not. And we make that commitment. And then there's that sustaining faith. That faith after we have made that commitment and we're faced with trials, we're faced with suffering. We're faced with questions that we can't answer. We're faced with disappointments, with loss, with sadness, with grief, with depression maybe. All of us struggle with something and we hang in there. Not because it makes sense, not because it's easy, not because our faith is so strong, but because we believe in the God who made the promise. We believe that the promise will come true. We believe on the other side of this, there is something better. And we hold on to our hope by that sustaining faith, like Abraham did. But that doesn't mean we're there yet. That doesn't mean we're going to no longer have any doubts. That doesn't mean we're not going to have our moments of weakness. But we're going to get through it because our hope is so strong. And then, as we do that, we grow in our sacrificial faith. And it's hard to believe that we could ever do what Abraham did. That we could ever be so in love with God that we could sacrifice what we love the most. There was nothing, nothing that Abraham loved more than Isaac, his son. But he had reached a point through the growth of his faith. His saving faith and his sustaining faith had grown to the point that he loved God so much that he loved God more than he loved his son Isaac. And he believed in God so much that he believed in something that Abraham could not understand the way we understand. He believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, that God would keep his promise, that God loved him so much that God would keep his promise that he would bless the world through Isaac. And Isaac had to live for that to happen. And so somehow Isaac was going to live. And even if he put him to death, obeying God, God would raise him from the dead. He believed in a resurrection that he had never seen before. And his love for God was stronger than his love for his son. That's hard to believe, that our love for God can grow to that point. And without saving faith and sustaining faith, or faith and hope, I don't think we can reach that level of love. And I have to give myself a big in, not yet, on this kind of love. And maybe you do too. But I'm growing in it because I believe in what God has done through faith and through hope and through love. And that I can love in ways that I never thought I could love, because I've grown in my love for God. And that's what we need to be doing. So again, let me bring you back to the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're experiencing an opportunity to grow in our faith and our hope and our love. Every time we do this and we let our minds really dwell on what it means, what the Lord's Supper is about, and we really focus in on what God's love has done for us and what Jesus' love has done for us, we grow in our faith and in our hope and in our love. And our love grows to where not only do we love God and Jesus with a greater love than what we had before, but we learn how to better love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we better love those in the world. Even those who are against us and those who are against God, we find a way to grow even in that kind of love. That's what happens when we take the Lord's Supper. This is not something to take for granted. This is something for us to really think about what we're doing. And I think it's hard to do during this time period. We have so many things that are crowding our minds. And even taking these little cups and peeling the thing and the wafer and all of that, even that's distracting. It keeps us from thinking about what we really need to think about. I want to encourage you to try to wrestle with your mind this morning to focus in on faith, hope, and love that's represented in the Lord's Supper. We're going to play a song, and if you know it, you're welcome to sing with it to prepare our hearts for taking the Lord's Supper, and then we'll do that together.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and truth that sets me free, Jesus Christ.
With me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the sacrifice that was made. We're thankful that He was willing to come to this earth and to be that example for us, to live His life in honor to You. May we do the same. May we honor You all of our days with our lives. We're thankful for that sacrifice. We're thankful for the love that was shown that day. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Pray with me again. What a blessing it is to call You Father, and what a blessing it is to be Your children. We're thankful for Jesus and that sacrifice that makes our relationship with You possible. Take our minds back to that time. Help us to remember the pain and the suffering that He went through so that each one of us can be Your child. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
After the singing of this last song, we'll have closing remarks by one of the shepherds. Thank you for helping us in song service this morning. David, thank you for the awesome lesson.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe He still storm Galilee. I believe that He walked on the water, and I believe that He's the answer for me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe He died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the believe, then he's the answer for me. I believe the words of the Bible, how he made the poor blind man to see. I believe that the deaf ears were open, and I believe he's made a difference in me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I believe that he spoke to dead Lazarus, and he said, unbind and set free. I believe reigns up in heaven, and I believe that he is coming again. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. I believe that he's the answer for me.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. It seems like there's a few more every week going through the situation that we have going on, and looking forward to the time we can all be back together as a family. Have a note here. To the Graham Street Church of Christ family, thank you for all the prayers, calls, and concerns on my behalf. I am much better now, thanks to God's help and a team of great doctors. I love you all. Doug Gassett. Doug, good to see you back. I know you've been through some hard times, and look like you're on the mend. You're still as ugly as you ever were. But thank you for all this stuff. Appreciate everybody's attendance. Be with us. If you pray with me, please. Father, thank you for this time we can come together to listen to your word. Thank you for the hope that we have, a hope for eternity. The hard times are here, and this too will pass, as your word says. And thank you for the hope that we have. This is just temporary. One day there will be a peace forever. Be with us this week. Keep those that are going back to school safe. Pray that you be with the teachers and all those that are concerned. It's through your Son that I pray. Amen.
Again, thank you for being here this morning with us. As we get ready to head out again into this week, for all of our students and all of our teachers and parents, hang in there. We're here for you and we're praying for you. What a great reminder to you this morning that as we go into this week, how strong our faith, how evident our hope, and how demonstrated our love needs to be in each and every day of our lives. We love you guys. We hope you have a wonderful school year, and thank you for being here again this morning. As the ushers come down, they'll dismiss you by row, so if you could stay seated until then, we'll have a song playing during that time. And again, if you're going to be in the foyer, we encourage you to have a mask on. Otherwise, go ahead and take your conversations outside. Thank you, and have a great week.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord. rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise him. Exalted, the King is exalted on high.